Just a few words I'd like to say this morning, continuing on the series of sermons that I've begun since we've been back together in person. We've been looking at among the 150 Psalms in the Book of Psalms in the Old Testament of our Bibles, 15 are uniquely identified as the Psalms of Ascents. And I've told you what Bible historians have told us is that these songs were very likely the playlist, or as I've said, the mixtape that the ancient travelers used on the road trip back to Jerusalem as they were coming back together after, in most cases, many months, perhaps even longer than that, of not having been able to worship together. These were the songs that they would sing on the journey as they were coming back together. And so today, if you press shuffle on your playlist and let that spin around a little bit, we're going to land on Psalm number 127, which your Bible titles A Song of Ascents of Solomon. And listen as the lyrics begin this way. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Houses and cities. That's the theme of the beginning of our song. Houses and cities. We put a lot of work into our homes and into our communities. We take care of them, don't we? We take pride in our houses and in our cities. Many of us orient our lives toward living in the perfect place, in the perfect town. And what do the real estate agents tell us is the most important thing, the three most important things? Location, location, location. But this song that we've just begun to hear says that it's not our work that makes for sturdy homes in good neighborhoods. God is the divine realtor. He's the one that provides for safe houses in great cities. Now, why on earth does that matter? Doesn't this seem a little bit random? Like, who was the ancient Israelite in charge of making the playlist for the journey back to Jerusalem that looked through the 150 Psalms and said, you know what we need? We need a song about our house. You know, like, was he a Crosby, Stills, and Nash fan? You know, kind of, our house is a very, very, very fine house, everybody, with two cats. Todd and Chandra, last week I danced the Macarena on this stage, and I tried to go another direction here. It didn't work any better. It seems a little bit unusual, I think, when we first read it. But in order to understand why it's here and why it's so important that it be one of the songs of the coming back together, I think we need to put ourselves in the mindset of our spiritual ancestors, of those ancients from several millennia ago who would have sung this song on their journey. You see, in the ancient Near East, houses aren't just houses. And cities aren't just cities. For us, it's about how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms. It's about are there walk-in closets, and is there a good neighborhood? What school district are you in, and is there a sprinkler system already installed in the lawn, right? But that's not what they were thinking about. Houses weren't houses in the way we're thinking about them, and cities weren't cities in the way that we think about them. In those days, it wasn't just about where you live. You see, both the house and the city was absolutely essential if you wanted to keep your family safe. And if you can imagine or think back and recall some of the stories of the Old Testament when this song would have been sung, think about, for instance, if you're familiar with it, the stories of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which tell you some of the absolutely awful, awful, terrible things that could happen to a traveler that didn't have a house to stay in overnight. Or think about the story of the siege of Jericho that will show you how a city is a safe place to be as long as those walls stay standing and the guards keep watch. But without that, everyone is in danger. Houses and cities were a means of security for these people. Both are essential for keeping you and your loved ones safe. And so the travelers that we're imagining now are now leaving their houses and their cities to travel to Jerusalem, aren't they? They're leaving their houses and their cities, and they're taking a journey that for some of them potentially could be dangerous. There could be bandits on the road. There could be thieves. Just the journey, the physical toll of the journey itself could be dangerous and hazardous to their health. As they go up to Jerusalem, they're taking a journey that they know is dangerous, and so they're singing a song that reminds them that God provides us with the means of protection. God provides us with the means of protection. You can orient your life to be as safe and secure as possible, but it won't matter unless God is on your side. You can do everything you want to do. You can build your house. You can watch guard over the city, but it doesn't matter unless God is on your side. Now, I want to just quickly notice and highlight here that in this song, godly people, faith-filled people are still building houses, and they're still setting guards over the city. They don't sleep out in the open overnight. The song doesn't say, God watches over us, so don't bother building a house. The song doesn't say, God watches over us, so have a little faith and don't bother to put a guard in the guard tower. Faith-filled people aren't saying, we don't need any help because God will take care of it. No, faith-filled people recognize that God has given them a means of protection. And so they leverage that means, but they do so with wisdom and with a heart of obedience and submission to his lordship. So they build their houses, they watch over their cities, and all the while they trust God to protect them as they do so. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And then the travelers keep on singing. They sing verse 2, in vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sometimes I thought this should be my life verse. He grants sleep to those he loves. Dan, why are you napping again? Oh, because Jesus loves me. Because Jesus loves me. That's why I choose to nap on this lovely Saturday afternoon. I nap because Jesus loves me. This I know. I don't think that's exactly what's going on. The singers are reminding themselves of the human tendency to control all the elements of our lives. Does somebody want to say amen to that, right? That's what we humans do. We want to control everything there is in our lives. It's our effort to provide safety and security for ourselves. But the singers say all that work that we put into things like that, they say that work is in vain. Not that those things aren't important, but it's just that we can't really do those things for ourselves. And that's because hard work without God doesn't pay off. It just doesn't pay off. How many of us know what it's like, can remember a time when we would go to bed and turn out the lights in our room and then we were afraid of the boogeyman? Or maybe it was the closet monster. And for how many of us, that time was last night, right? We see some hands. I see some confessing Christians in the room tonight, right? But everybody at one point or another has had that fear of the darkness as we lie in bed. And here's the thing. What is the surefire best defense against the boogeyman?
Jesus.
Not Jesus. It's your bed sheets. He can't get you if you're under the covers. Everybody knows that, right? The boogeyman can't get you if you're under the covers. It's standard knowledge. He cannot get you if you're under the covers. And so you get on into the bed and you pull the covers up, right? Now your face is usually exempt. You're allowed to breathe, okay? But how many of us to this day still feel a little bit weird about sticking a bare foot out from under those covers, right? How many of us still feel a little bit scared if we happen to roll over and our arm flops off the edge of the bed? You can't do that. He's liable to climb out from under that bed and just pull us right down, right? You got to have the arm in the bed. It's got to be covered. Everybody who knows anything about the boogeyman knows that the boogeyman can't get through 100% cotton. Okay? Thread count is immaterial. If it's sheets, he can't get through them. That's what we all tend to believe. It's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. But everybody knows you got to cover up. You got to cover up. We do it. Because it makes us feel better. So much of what we do, church, so much of what we do in this life to make ourselves secure, I think it's cotton bed sheets. It might feel good. It might be what we've grown used to. But if what we really feared ever actually came to pass, the protections that we put into place would be useless. Absolutely useless. Meanwhile, God offers real peace. God offers real securities in ways that we could never manufacture for ourselves. And I think the lesson is this. God is not opposed to the idea that you should be taken care of. He's absolutely not against that thought. But he needs to be the one taking care of you. And that might require you exchanging your bed sheets for the kind of protection that he provides. And here's the thing, church, that might not be comfortable. That might not feel familiar. That might not feel quite as cozy as Egyptian linen does. But you might even feel more exposed than if you had your own blankets, but it will be far more effective. Let's listen to the rest of the song. Verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offering a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now, to many modern ears, the last half of the song feels like a non sequitur, right? I thought we were talking about houses and cities. I thought we were talking about building and God being in charge. And then all of a sudden, it's like we hit a bump and the CD skipped and we're listening to the second half of a different song, right? Now we're talking about children and full quivers, and I don't know if we're supposed to be saying that in church, and all kinds of things that don't sound right. But I want to remind you what the theme of this song is, because I think it holds the key to unlocking why this is part of the song. We're talking about security, right? We're talking about being safe. We're talking about being protected. Now put yourself not in your own mindset, but in the mindset of the ancient people who would have been singing this song on their way to Jerusalem. For them, a big part of security would have been big family. A big part of their security was the ability to have children. So this really isn't a new topic. I just feel like verse 3 needed a for example in front of it, right? We're going to talk about security. We're going to talk about how God protects us. We're going to talk about how it's his choice to protect us well. For example, think about how we build our families. Because the song said God provides us with a means of protection. And the song said hard work without God isn't going to pay off because the means of security are things that only he can provide. And then it says, for instance, consider the blessing of having children. Now there's something that only God can accomplish in your life. And that's just one example among many that we could probably think of how life's greatest blessings are outside of our control. Life's greatest blessings are outside our control. Now, again, us modern folk, we tend to think about, oh, the blessing of children. We think about that in terms of the joys of parenthood and dreams fulfilled. But I believe that these ancient travelers were thinking on a different level. They were thinking about children in terms of economic security, right? It wasn't the joys of parenthood. Having kids meant they weren't going to be as likely to spend their golden years in abject poverty. Because in a day where there's no Social Security, in a day where there's no Medicare, in those days, kids kept you out of the poorhouse. Today, in those days, kids kept you out of the poorhouse, period, full stop. Maybe I should just quit it there. And so for them to say, you know, let's think about how security in this life really works. It would be a natural progression to say, for instance, you can plan all you want, you can build all you want, but ultimately your well-being in your silver years is going to be connected to how big your family is, and only God can do that. So let's just acknowledge that the biggest blessings in this life, no matter how hard you work, are outside of your own control. The ability to become a parent, something that, especially for those ancient people, is clearly something that we can't decide upon for ourselves. And yet, that's God's way of providing us with peace and security. Church, your safety and your health, your well-being, and all of the greatest blessings in your life are not the things that you can manifest for yourself. Trust in God is essential. And the ability to discern how he's providing for you is essential. Submission to his authority is essential. And that's why I believe this song gets selected as part of the playlist. This is one of the messages that we need to be reminded of as we come back together. This is why those ancient people said, you know, we're going to be listening to this music, we're going to be singing as we go on this journey. What are the things that we need to know as we come back towards God's house, as we prepare to gather with those that we haven't seen in a long time, some that maybe we don't even know, but those such as God would call? What are the things that we need to be reminded of? They said, you know, our security, our safety, the source of our strength. We need to be reminded of that. Now for us, here we are living in that kind of weird in-between time where some of us are able to gather in person, and some of us, for reasons of health or other risk factors, are not able to gather in person. And as I've tried to say every chance I get, I support those decisions. I've talked a lot about the importance of being together, but that's not meant as a way to make somebody feel guilty if, because of their health or their risk factor in light of the current pandemic, they aren't able to be there. I support those decisions, but let's remember the message of this psalm. God provides us with the means of protection, amen? And for some right now, for some, that means includes a higher degree of social distancing. And so that makes sense. But even if, can I just say even if today? But even if we're still physically distant, we cannot start wrapping ourselves in cotton sheets. We can't just start wrapping ourselves in the temptations and the patterns of life where we start to believe that we make our own future. We can't afford to get ourselves into that place. You know, they talk about the echo chamber, right? When we're alone, that everything I say just kind of comes back at me because I surround myself with people who think the same way I do, or I surround myself with circumstances that just kind of reflect back to me my own preconceptions. That's like a comfy comforter. It's like a quilt, right? It feels good, but that's not ultimately going to protect us. And we can't afford, when we're owned, to keep wrapping ourselves up in the sheets of familiar patterns and this lie that we can control our own little universe. The Song of the Worshippers is a reminder that without God's help, all of those things are useless. Church, here's the truth, as I believe the Word of God is showing us. The truth is that life is difficult. The truth is that life is dangerous. The worshipers who sang this song were on a journey, and so are we. And just like their journey, ours is filled with unknowns, some of which could be perilous. And protection and security are always on our minds, rightfully so. But rejoice. Rejoice, people of God, because we, just like those travelers, are on our way to the city of the King. We are headed into the house of the Lord, and He's the one who makes us secure. That's a reminder for us today from the Word of God. Let's just ask Him to add His blessing to that word as we pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You that we serve the one who watches over the city. We thank You, Lord, that we live our lives in allegiance to the one who builds the house. We thank You, Lord, that You are a strong tower and Your righteous people can run to You and be safe. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be discerning about the things that we try to build in our own lives. I pray that You would help us to be understanding about some of those structures and habits and systems that we try to surround ourselves with sometimes in an effort to make things easier on ourselves. Help us to remember, Lord, that all of that is in vain unless our feet are first planted firmly in Your word, unless You first are the one who surrounds us. Lord, give us strength today, we ask. Give us strength. Watch over Your people. Protect us, surround us, guard us, and provide for us. We ask in the strong and all-sufficient name of Jesus. And everybody says, Amen.